Luke 19, verses 11 through 27. This is the reading of God's Word. While they were listening to these things, Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared, saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a little, very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him, also, and you are to be over 5 cities. Another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, by your own words, I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, take up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank, and having come, I would have collected it with interest? Then he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 minas. And they said to him, master, he has 10 minas already. I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine who did not want me to be reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, so that our faith will grow as we hear your word, and that we will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear your word. And through your word, let us see what he has done, what he has accomplished for us. Let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We thank you. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, every single time we're looking at the book of Luke, in this book, we are looking at our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And as we have seen last time, Jesus and his disciples, they come near Jerusalem. And many times, Luke already told us in his book, Jesus is going to Jerusalem to suffer and to die for his people's sins. But the disciples and the people who are following him, they do not know what is truly going on. Luke 19:11b They supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. You could see that the kingdom of God that the sinners want is the worldly kingdom. What that means is that they ultimately want to be successful in this world. In verse 11 we read, Jesus went on to tell a parable because. This verse tells us why Jesus told this parable. Jesus went on to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem and they supposed that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Now this is very important that when we come to understanding this parable, we need to really understand the reason that is given to us by Luke why Jesus told us this parable. It is because they thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear immediately. Thus, we must understand the parable in terms of that reason why Jesus is telling this parable. Jesus wants to correct the wrong understanding about the kingdom of God. Two wrong things. First, that the kingdom of God is an earthly kingdom. And second, that it will be visibly consummated at his first coming. Now, by telling us this parable, our Lord Jesus Christ is witnessing the true reality of the kingdom of God. So let us begin. Verse 12 and 13. So he said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. A nobleman, he goes to a distant country. And in verse 13, he tells his slaves that he will come back. Now, obviously, the nobleman points to Jesus Christ. He goes to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself, meaning that he will be crowned as his king. This points to our Lord Jesus ascending to heaven to receive the heavenly kingdom. This happens as he goes to heaven, not at the time when he comes back, meaning that his kingdom, in order for you to experience that kingdom, you don't have to wait until his second coming. Because it is already accomplished and he receives it at his first coming. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after his resurrection, ascends to heaven and receives the kingdom of God, meaning that he is crowned as the king of that kingdom. He sits at the throne. Only king sits at the throne. So as we understand, Jesus sits at his throne, he's already king. And he's already reigning as the king. The Bible describes this reality in many ways. Somewhere it says he sat at the right hand of God. Or, other place, he sat at the throne of God. Or that he reigns as a king for 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are finished, meaning when the church age is finished, he will come again to gather his people and to judge this world. And at that time, the kingdom of God will be visibly consummated. So we understand that the kingdom of God is accomplished in two stages. It is already accomplished at his first coming, and at his second coming, it will be visibly consummated. The kingdom of God, according to the Bible, does not visibly consummate at his first coming, But the disciples and the people misunderstood. They were wrong about it, at least two things, as we said before. They thought that it was an earthly kingdom, and also they thought that it would be visibly consummated right there and then. No, Bible is very clear. For the visible consummation, we must wait until His second coming. And I'm saying this thing over and over again, and even, you know, last 15 minutes I preached, I'm saying the thing, same thing over and over. I deliberately do that so that you will hear it many times. Because there are so many Christians out there that who misunderstand the nature of the kingdom of God. So there is an interim period, which is the church age, between His first coming and His second coming. But even at His first coming, the kingdom of God is accomplished, just not visibly. And during the time of church age, this interim age, the reality of the kingdom of God is witnessed through His church. Now, Apostle Paul says the same thing this way in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 22, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. It just says that He's already the King. He rules already. That everything, all things, are subjection under His feet. And this has been already accomplished at His first coming. And we saw this reality even from the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. If you come to Wednesday Bible study, we just study that. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming, and He came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before Him. So, here's Jesus Christ coming up, riding the clouds, and in the New Testament, when you come to Acts, you read about Jesus ascending to heaven in the clouds. So we see Him going to heaven, and Daniel tells us what happens when He came up to heaven. So let me read that again. I kept looking in the night vision, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before Him. And to Him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the people, nations, and men of every language might serve Him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which will not pass away. And His kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. So even in the Old Testament, it already told us what will happen. Now, this is why when you come to New Testament, when New Testament referring to the kingdom of God, it says that it is an already accomplished kingdom. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for He rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son. Your reality right now is that you have been already transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son. So, in our parable, Jesus goes to a distant country, and we know that this is not a country of this world. It is a heavenly country. So, the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the journey of our Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to this world as a man, and he dies on the cross, and he resurrects from the dead, and he ascends to heaven, and he also comes back to gather us, all of us, and we'll all go to heaven with him. This is his journey. As he goes to distant country, he says to his slaves in verse 13, and he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. 10 of his slaves. These point to the believers who live in this world, meaning that they are the church members. And Jesus gives them 10 minas, thus 1 mina to 1 slave. And we do not know the exact amount of mina is today, but all agree that it is not much money. The nobleman commands the 10 slaves, do business with this until I come back. They are called to work. Work until when? Until Jesus comes back. Again, we see our Lord uses the business language in his parable. We are called to work, do business of the kingdom. What does mina represent then? Well, it points to the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of grace. It is different from the parable of Matthew chapter 25. There, the master gives different amounts of talents to each slave. But here, the same amount is given. So, what could it be? It refers to the gospel of heaven, the gospel of grace that are given to us equally. And you are to do business with that. You are to work. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. So who are these, his citizens? Well, they are all those other than 10 slaves. They are pointing to the Jews, but ultimately they point to all non-believers who live in this world. John chapter 19, verse 14 through 15. And he, Pilate, said to the Jews, behold your king. So they cry out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? Then the chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Psalm chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devise a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel against, together against the Lord and against his anointed. So all those who do not accept Jesus Christ as the king, Jesus comes, Jesus becomes, as you say, the living stone which has been rejected by men. And they say, this man, derogatory statement. They have a contempt for Jesus Christ. Verse 15 to the 19. When he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came saying, Your mina, master, has made 5 minas. And he said to him also, And you are to be over 5 cities. So after receiving the kingdom, the nobleman returns. Just like Jesus, one day he will return. This points to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is now the judgment time. He calls the slaves to whom he had given money. He wanted to know how they had done the business. During the church age, the faithfulness is required of the believers, the obedience to the master. The master wants them to be the faithful stewards. And during the church age, the interim period, in order for the church to do this business, its members have to deal with the non-believers. The church must engage with non-believers to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God. Of course, the members must do this as a part of the church. Your main tasks are to pray for the ministry of the word and inviting the non-believers to the church. The first slave and the second slave say the same thing. Master, your mina has made 10 minas more, or your mina, master, has made 5 minas. I want you to notice something here. They did not say, I have made 10 minas more, or I have made 5 minas more. No, what do they say? Your mina has made 10 or 5 minas. It is not so much of what they have done, but the focus is on the grace of the master. We are reminded of Luke chapter 17, verse 10. So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done. The master says to the first slave, Well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities. We read a similar thing in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Those who are faithful in this world, faithful to Christ, of course, in this world, God will bestow upon them the heavenly things. Jesus says, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. Or to second slave, you are to be over 5 cities. These point to the fact that the master is inviting them to participate in his reigning over the kingdom of God as the king. What does it mean to be ruling over those 10 cities or those 5 cities? It means that you are king over those cities. So Jesus is in fact inviting the slave to participate in him being the king. To participate in Jesus Christ receiving the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 22, verse 29 through 30. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation 22, verse 5 says, They will reign forever and ever. who will reign with Jesus Christ as the kings in heaven. And this is what the master bestows upon those slaves who are faithful to him. The Bible is very clear that you and I will reign with Christ when we get to heaven. Verse 20 and 21, another came saying, Master, here is your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. You see, very interesting, you know, first slave and second slave, and all of a sudden, another came. He is isolated from the first and the second slaves. He kept the mina in a handkerchief. And he tells the reason for what he has done in verse 21. For I was afraid of you, master. Because you are an exacting man, and you take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. You take what I make, and if I don't make anything, then you punish me. So I was so afraid of you. Notice something. He blames the master for him doing nothing. Him being lazy, he blames master for it. Blaming the others, this is the picture of sinners. And you see that all the time in this world today. Everybody blaming other people. They don't own their own sins. But this is how sinners are. Bible clearly shows us. Adam blamed Eve. And ultimately, Adam blames God for his sin. He said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. It's not so much my fault, but the woman that you gave me, she gave it to me. So Adam blames his wife. Eve blamed the serpent for her sin. And this is what the sinners do. They blame the others rather than repenting of their sins. When we see what the master has done with the first two slaves, we are able to say that there is no reason for the third slave to be afraid of the master. All he had to do was obey. And it wasn't like master said, you gotta make 10 or 5 more. It really didn't matter. Master, both who made, you know, 10 mina or 5 mina, master was gracious to both of them. But see, even today, some Christians feel like God is like this. They're afraid of God, they think, they say. It just shows that the third slave do not know the master. And there are many like this even today. They believe God's commands are unreasonable. They do not love God and they do not know the love that God has for his people. See, those who do not fully understand the gospel, thus, misunderstanding the law of God, are like this slave. God is unreasonable, asking us to do things that is just unreasonable. But the fact is, they don't love God. They have no desire to obey him. And they will blame anybody else, anything else, for their own sin. Verse 22, he said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Did you know that I am an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. Then he said to the bystander, take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas already. Well, I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. The master judges the third slave exactly according to what he has said. The master is saying to the slave, if you really believe what you have said, if you truly believe that I am an exacting man, if you are truly afraid of me, then you would have done something so I would collect, so that I would not judge you. But in fact, you do not fear me, nor you have any desire to obey me. Think about it, brothers and sisters. If this slave really feared the master, don't you think that he will at least like do something so that he will not be judged? It just shows he's not afraid of the master. He just don't love him. He doesn't care. If you were truly afraid of me, then you would have at least put the money in the bank so I could collect it with interest. That just makes sense. If you're so afraid of him, why wouldn't you do that? It doesn't take much to put your money in the bank. You're not doing anything anyway. Master says to him, you worthless slave. The slave simply does not love his master. And that's what love makes you do. If you love somebody, you will do those things that would bring pleasure to that person. That's just how it is. You will even suffer for that person. That's why you see moms suffering for their children, because they love their children. Jesus said, if you love me, you would obey my commandments. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Isn't that interesting? When you say Lord, when you say my king, that means you have obligation to obey that king. I mean, look at any relationship between king and his subject. If you call somebody your king, you better obey him. So what is this, my Lord, and you have no desire to obey God? What does that mean? The third slave called Jesus Master or Lord, but has no desires to obey him. Unless you are given God's grace, you will never spread God's grace. Unless you are given God's grace, you will always complain instead of obeying. Unless you are given God's grace, you will think that God is unreasonable. The obedience and the faithfulness are commanded. If we judge the third slave according to what he has said, he is a liar and he despises God. Job chapter 15 verse 5 and 6. For your guilt teaches your mouth, and you choose the language of crafty. Your own mouth condemns you, and not I, and your own lips testify against you. Now the master takes away the mina from the third slave and give it to the first slave. And he teaches all of us his principle. He says, I'll tell you that to everyone who has more shall be given, but from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Matthew 13, verse 11 through 12, similar thing. Jesus answered them, to you it has been granted to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he who will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. I think Luke chapter 8 verse 18 says most clearly, most precisely. Matthew 18 says like this, so take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has shall be taken away from him. This is why I study the Bible more and more. Because God promised me, if I have more, He will give to me more. And if I don't have, then even what I think I have will be taken away. It's not that I actually have it, but I think I have it. Even that will be taken away. So I don't want to lose what I have. I want more. This is why I study. I read. Because God promised me, if I have more, more will be given to me. And, boy. Last 35, 40 years, every single year, I sit down. I think about what God has given me. Every single year, I have better understanding of the Bible. God is so faithful in keeping His promise. I'm actually excited what He will give to me in the next 10 years. How much more of the Bible that I will understand. Now we come to the last verse. Verse 27. But these enemies of mine, who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. This points to the last judgment of God at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is only one reason for judgment. They do not accept Christ. They do not accept Christ as their king. That's the only reason. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. And they are called the enemies of Jesus Christ. And they will forever be judged. When we read our passage, there are three groups who will be judged by our Lord Jesus Christ. And first group is judged as good. The good slave, pointing to all believers. And there's a second group, the worthless slave. They are the members of the church, but ultimately they are non-believers. Like Judas was a part of 12 disciples, and yet he was never a believer. He followed Jesus for 3 years, but he was never a believer. So we have members who are believers and members who are not believers. And the third group, the people of this world. Only the good slave is rewarded. All the others will be judged forever. And this division is according to only one thing, Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not about you are any better than other people or you live a better life than other people. It's never about that. Because all have sinned. Only one thing separates the people who will be awarded and people who will be judged. And that is Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you will be rewarded with the kingdom of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, 36, "For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death." To hate Jesus is to love death. The believers during the church age, they believe in Jesus Christ and witness Jesus Christ. We are to spread the gospel of the kingdom of God, spread the grace of God. All is His grace. His grace will produce grace. Even the good slave is a sinner. But to pay for his sin, Jesus is going to Jerusalem in our passage. You know, before I end, here's something to really think about. The judgment of the evil slave. He was judged by what he said. Exactly according to his own words, he was judged. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. He receives the judgment that the evil slave deserves. On the cross, he was judged exactly according to his own words. His laws. Thus he receives the judgment that evil slave deserves. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, let us live by faith. Let us live with joy as we wait for the day of His return. Brothers and sisters, He gave us mina. Told us to do business with it. And you and I are called to be faithful to His word, His command. How are you so faithful in your life today? Or all your focus is about the world out there, just what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. And if that's only your focus, this parable tells you you need to wake up. Because Jesus is coming back. Mark chapter 13, verse 35, "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning. In case he should come suddenly and find you asleep, what I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. Brothers and sisters, let us eagerly wait for him, and until he is coming back, let us be faithful to obey him. He called us to do certain business that concerns the kingdom. And we must do it. It's not optional. And I'm not telling you to all be, you know, pastors or elders. No. It's just you understand the focus, the purpose, the meaning. You will do the same thing that you've been doing every day. When it comes to tomorrow, you will do the same. But your focus will be different. It will be the reason, the purpose, and motivation will be Jesus Christ. Not just live like non-Christians out there. They do the pretty much the same thing you do, but their focus is never Jesus Christ. But yours is. And our focus is Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We're doing all this for the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love. Oh, Father, we need your grace. Pour your grace upon us. And by that grace, that will produce grace in our lives. Oh, Father, so that one grace will be 10 graces. Let us do business of the kingdom very well for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.